Love, and it shows us the very horror of hell. And because God is love, we also draw from that the reality that the greatest thing that makes hell hell is the absence of God. And that I think we should realize as we're examining this question as well. And this evening what we're going to do is just go on the flip side, and that is to see the contrast that's presented as we talk and look at the very wonder of God's heaven, which I think each and every one of us wants to be with Him one day for all of eternity. And we recognize that there is a great gulf that is fixed, and I grant you that I'm lifting that particular phrase in the bar there on the screen. I'm lifting it from the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I believe it is a parable, but that's another subject. But that, in that particular parable, while in paradise, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and he was told that there is a great gulf between, or rather the rich man was told there's a great gulf between him and Lazarus and those who are in paradise compared to those who are in torment. And again, while it was a reference to the time that we know as the time of waiting for eternity, the waiting for the judgment day, I think it's an apt description to make even now in this lesson that as we enter eternity after the judgment, there will be an inseparable gulf between those who have been lost and those who are going to enjoy eternity. As we look at this matter of heaven and how wonderful it will be because we're going to be in the presence of God, we certainly want to note that joy is going to come from God's character. We are going to be uplifted. We're going to be thrilled because of God's character. We read a great deal about God's character within the Bible, but the great thing is that when we go to heaven for eternity, we'll get to actually experience that which brings the joy of God's presence to each and every one of us. And so heaven indeed will be because of the wonderful character. Jesus says in John the 17th chapter and verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus wanted the people of that day and wants us to realize that we need to see God in all the joy that He presents for us on earth, and then in our mind's eye, if you will, project that to the point of eternity and see the great joy that we'll have in that circumstance as well. What we will recognize is then the very character of God is going to reflect itself upon us in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I want to make a point now that I've made in times past, and that is that I think because of this joy of God's character, the fact that there will be people that I love here on earth who will not be in heaven, the sorrow of that, while at this time may be almost inconsolable, I think in heaven will be consoled to its maximum. And that is to say, to remove the pain of the earthly loss that I experience here, or that any of us would experience here, it will be overwhelmed by the joyous character of God for all of eternity. What I'm saying is, there will be such joy within the character of God that it will flood out any sense of sorrow and any sense of pain of any remembrances of things that we experienced here on earth. I think that it is true that God's character is one of love. It is love that is active. It is a love that shows forth His caring for us. And if God cares for us here on earth, we can only imagine the volume of His love and care for us throughout eternity. In John's writing to us in 1 John the 4th chapter, he says there in verses 7 and 8, "Beloved, Let us love one another, for God is love, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Everything about our well-being on earth is recognized by God. Even the fact that we suffer here on earth. Even the fact that we suffer physically, we suffer emotionally, we suffer by the circumstances of life at any particular time. God recognizes that, and the very fact that we're still suffering does not diminish the reality of God. But we are reminded by passages such as this that God is aware of us, but He also wants us to be individuals who will deliberately respond in love toward Him. And that it not be simply a programmed... pardon me. That it will not simply be a programmed response that He's put in our DNA. Rather, it will be the result of choices we make in loving Him. And so God's character is one of love. And that's going to be reflected in who we are and what we are about. In hell, that love and its influence is going to be absent. And because of its absence, a figure is used throughout Scripture contrasting darkness as life without God and light as evidence of being in the presence of God. And therefore, references that are made throughout Scripture with regard to the darkness of hell, even as mentioning fire, doesn't do anything but exaggerate to us in a positive way the lack of the presence of God in hell, and therefore the horror that that would be within our lives. We need to recognize that if we allow ourselves to be self-centered, if we allow ourselves to be individuals who are simply wrapped up in what we want, what we can attain, what we can accomplish, then it's the very antithesis of what God is and what God wants us to feel toward one another and toward Him. In hell, there is that absence of love that we talked about. John says in 1 John again, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 12, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous." The contrast that is presented for us in that particular passage is simply showing that when we manifest love toward one another, what we're doing is preparing ourselves to enjoy eternity with one another in the presence of God. So what we get from these various passages is that we receive the love of God that's so overwhelming, we find an extension of the love of ourselves that we've shown each other through the course of our lives, and therefore we're going to feel at home in heaven. It's not going to be an odd feeling, why am I here, what is this all about, but rather it's going to be the true sensation of what heaven is all about. So in hell there is that absence of love. It is that selfishness that is in opposition to the character of God. James tells us in the 3rd chapter, in verses 13 through 18, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make for peace. This goes again to the contrast that is before us even on this earth. Do we behave as individuals who center their lives around the will of God, or do we behave as individuals who center their lives around themselves? I don't know. In your heart, in your private moments, where you center your life. And you don't know where in my most private moments I center my life. I think there are things that I know about you to varying degrees. I certainly think there are things that I know about my wife and she knows about me. And I would imagine that husbands and wives and mothers and fathers, etc., have a degree, a deep degree of knowledge on these things. But ultimately, God is the one who knows. God is the one who understands what's going on within our minds and within our hearts and whether or not we have that selfishness or not. And so we ask ourselves, if we are living for Christ, do we stop selfishness? And I would suggest the answer is quite simply yes. In 2 Corinthians... Excuse me just a minute. I wish you could put the mic on, or the thing on pause, because I'm going to step away for a moment. Excuse me. When was the last time you had a preacher do that? I haven't before. Okay, so 2 Corinthians says in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's what stops the selfishness that can keep us out of heaven. It is the idea that we end up walking in the light all the days of our lives and living for Christ. And in so doing, we empty ourselves of those selfish things that stand between us and eternity. When we talk about this matter of heaven, when we talk about this matter of hell, it quite simply comes down to how we're going to live our lives as to where we want to spend eternity. Are we going to live our lives seeking the joy of God, seeking the character of God within our lives? Are we going to live our lives recognizing that within hell there is no presence of God? In hell there is no presence of love. And the self-centeredness versus God will never be something that we'll battle again once we are in heaven with the Father. So let's continue to be living for Christ, living to make sure that we're not self-centered in the things we do and the things that we are about. Because as we consider the matter of the wonders of God in heaven, we realize that the choice is always ours, ours alone. The choice is mine as to how I'm going to live my life. The choice is mine as to whether or not I'm going to continue in the light. The choice is yours as to whether or not you're going to come to the light of Jesus Christ this night. What is the choice that you'll make? What is the choice that you'll make the rest of this week? If you're in the light, will you continue in the light? If you're out of the light, will you come to the light? What you do now and what you do for the rest of your life, not that you're working your way to heaven, but it will manifest where your heart and desire is to spend eternity with God. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together.